welcome to another episode of the Sal and Bob Show. I am comedian Sal D'Amelio, and you know my co-host, Mr. Bob Phillips, who's sitting across from me. We're at the OP Studios this week. It is Sunday, the end of the weekend of September 11th weekend. We all remembered that.
Indeed, we did.
And everything. So, but anyway, it's a football Sunday as well. We just kind of watched some football today, and here we are on the Sal and Bob Show. My partner, Bob Phillips, how you doing on this Sunday, Bob?
Couldn't be better, my friend. It's a, it's not really the start of fall. We have another week or so, right?
Yeah.
But it's the first day of NFL football, so.
Yeah, and a fun-filled day.
Oh, good day. I mean, the Lions lost, as per usual, but they did it in a fashion exciting and unexpected.
I turned it off. I'll be honest with you. I turned it off. I was at my dad's, and we were watching the first half, and I think we watched a little bit of the third quarter. It was 41-17. I said, yeah. So we put, you know, Bonanza on or something for my dad or whatever.
But Bonanza.
But, you know, so started watching Bonanza.
Can you actually watch Bonanza still? I mean, what would that be on?
Station 175. I don't know what that is. I don't know
that's a real thing. Yeah. What was it? TV Land? Is that still a thing that you can get
TV
all that?
TV Land's still on there. Okay. But you can get, I mean, if you search all these cable stations, I mean, you can find the Lawrence Welk show if you're looking for it. I mean, you really can. Yeah. I mean, well, obviously you can YouTube everything you want to watch now too. You can just YouTube the Mary Tyler Moore show and somebody recorded it on their phone and put it on YouTube and you can watch it.
I went down a YouTube rabbit hole the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever do this?
Oh, yeah. You can get lost, and it's such a
time suck, you know? And it's kind of fun when you're doing it. I was up until 2 a.m. last night, and this is what I was doing, okay? It started out on Instagram, and then I went to TikTok. They have this. It's called Skilled Musicians. It's on TikTok. And you just watch these, it's mostly guitar players doing guitar solos from really, you know, famous bands, right? The Eddie Van Halen Beat It solo from Michael Jackson, from Beat It, right? Or Comfortably Numb, the two solos from that Pink Floyd, one of my favorite bands, favorite song of all time. So I was up until 2 a.m. last night watching and comparing guitar solos of Comfortably Numb and, you know, just name a guitar solo, you know.
But I know what you're saying. Like, you just... So you just
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, you were just all these famous.
A lot of Brian May, Queen solos. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, how did they interpret it? How did they do it? And you see good ones. There's a lot of good ones. And then there's some really good ones. You're like, this is an 11-year-old kid. How are they pulling this off, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. So it was a big waste of time, but it was fun.
No, but that's how it is. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, when I go down a YouTube rabbit hole, it's like I go off on branches, but these branches... You never, like, if I start off with, like, I want to just see Babe Ruth home runs, right?
Right.
That's my first YouTube search. But an hour later, I'm looking at people that fall off curbs. I go from Babe Ruth to people that fall off curbs.
Curb fails.
I mean, how did I know? It's like that story that starts at the beginning, and then, you know, by the time the last person tells it, it's totally a different story.
Yeah, what was that? Well, there was
that's how my YouTube searches are. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I go from...
You know, I do the same thing. You go down tangents.
Yeah.
And then you wonder, how do I get back to where I was? You just keep hitting the back button, you know?
Yeah, you can do that, but then that's, you know, I could take a while.
People who fall off curbs. That would be me the other night after the last show we did.
It's a good weekend. Like you said, college football is you know, 2 weeks in now. There's stadiums full of people now, 100,000 people again, and which is great to see. You know, hopefully, you know, we're not inventing new variants at these big stadiums. But what are you gonna do?
Who knows, man?
Their life. And also, like you said, the NFL was today. What's making the round, I think our producer sent it to us, this cat that was saved at the Miami Hard Rock Stadium. Did you see that?
I did see that.
It was amazing.
It was heartbreaking to see this poor cat literally hanging.
But it was
from,
hanging off that thing like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. How did it get like that?
How did it even get there in the first place?
I mean, seriously. I don't understand how it got in that position.
But the ending is great. So you see the cat hanging off the second tier, right?
Yeah, he's got one paw.
And so finish
on
the story. This is a great ending.
Well, so the cat is hanging off the, you know, second balcony of the Hard Rock Stadium, which
right.
is where the Miami Dolphins play and all that. And this cat is just dangling, and somebody in the crowd took a TikTok video of it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people are waiting for this thing to fall because they're gonna catch it. And the cat survives. You see it falling, but I swear, if you look at the video, these 30 drunk people at Hard Rock, they didn't catch the thing. It just happened to live. I swear to God, because I saw the guy that caught it. He kind of bent down.
In the flag.
He was near the flag guy, but I thought he went down to the ground to pick up the cat, and it was all right, and then he held it up.
Okay.
But I don't know if he caught the
cat. Well, they said that there was a few people that were holding that flag, and they caught it.
Oh, they caught it in the flag. Okay. And then it kind of
dribbled out,
okay,
but it was
that's
safe.
That's probably what happened. Okay.
So the whole place erupts, which I just love, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those moments where, you know, you get people, and it's not political, it's not anything,
just, it's,
but
it's so funny
they save the cat.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because when I was looking at the video, I watched it like 10 times because I just wanted to see this thing
fall. I did too, yeah.
And you're right, I noticed, I just noticed all the people that were waiting for this cat to fall. There was all kinds of cultures there. There was Black people, there was white people, there was Indians, there was Mexican.
Yeah.
There was a really cultural diverse crowd. And I'm thinking, you're right, Bob. These people wanted to all just save this cat. It was almost like a unity moment. It was cool.
I think that's why it
went nuts on TikTok.
It's like, wow, really? America can still get behind something?
Yeah.
A cat dangling off the second tier of a professional stadium.
And
how cool was it that it was caught in an American flag?
Yeah,
God bless the USA.
Thank God it wasn't a Miami Hurricane flag. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
A hurricane flag. That's all we need.
Yeah.
Why don't they change their name if we're going to cancel teams?
Yeah, right? Hurricanes are pretty deadly. They kill
or
people.
Or if we're not going to change their name, why hasn't one of the Hurricanes been named the Miami Hurricane?
I don't know.
They give them names.
Yeah, I don't know.
The Miami Hurricane.
Hey, by the way, did Washington, D.C. ever rename their team? Is it just
they're supposed to announce that pretty soon. I thought they already did, but
I always like that Dan Snyder did that because that was a big FU to the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, okay, look, you want me to rename my team? I don't have time. It's the Washington football team.
Yep.
I mean, it's like,
well,
take it or leave it.
Now, is that stadium? Does that stadium have a name? Where the Washington?
Kansas City is Arrowhead. So what was Washington? I don't know.
I'm just thinking because what he might do is, if I was him, because you know how he just did the move that you liked.
Uh-huh.
Now what he should do is call it the Washington Oreos and just have Oreos pay him a shitload of money. You know what I mean?
Somebody would have a problem with Oreos. They'd be like, why wasn't it the Washington Hydrox? who remembers Hydrox, by the way? Come on, people. Come on. I love Hydrox.
Washington Entenmann's. But, get a product. The Washington Viagras. Seriously, why not?
I know. Why not? Who cares?
Race car drivers do it, right?
Nobody really cares about the names or the history of it anymore. It's like, look, are you going to win my fantasy league for me or not?
Yeah.
Are you going to cover for me? By the way, the Lions today foiled everybody who took the over.
The over hit, but it was the spread. The spread was what?
I'm sorry. Yeah, the spread.
Yeah,
the spread.
San Francisco
it was 9.5, right?
9.5, 9 in some places, 8.5 in some places.
Lions,
they
continue to confound Vegas year after year after year. That was a bet I would have taken a million times.
Well, here's the deal. I know there was a human being somewhere on this planet, or most notably Vegas, that had a ticket with San Francisco -8.5 or San Francisco -9.5 in his hand. It was 41-17 in the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah.
That person is counting his chickens.
Yeah.
Because that 20, baby's 24 just
points.
Done.
You're done. It's over.
And it's the backdoor cover. It's the backdoor cover. My buddy Steve has made that phrase famous. It's it's when you're winning that game and it just they get the back door. The Lions scored three touchdowns to not win the game but win the spread.
You could see that the Lions were mentally still in it. You saw their sideline. Yeah, they're still in
fighting.
Each other's faces.
That's
they
their
had
coaching.
Fight.
That's a
and
coach.
Then they showed the San Francisco sideline and they were lackadaisical. They were just meandering around going, yeah, we got this. They're already thinking about where they're going for dinner or, you know, out, when they get home, they get on the team plane. And boom, Lions stretched them out.
Almost came back to win it. I mean, it would have been a great victory for them. But, you know, again, it's just a nice showing. But I think they played well for the coach. I think if it was Patricia in there, I think they would have got waxed.
Oh, yeah.
I think they would have gave up on the game. And it would have been, you know, instead of them coming back, it would have been 48-17 final.
Yeah.
So
a big football day.
Yeah, good day.
And the Wolverines won yesterday. They are now 2-0. They won decisively.
Ohio State loss.
Boom. The Ducks.
So the Ducks came and quacked them out of the stadium. And a lot of good things happening there. I don't know what else is happening, man.
I just, you know what? I'm filling out the fall gigs as you are. I want to direct people to our websites, BobPhillipsComedy.com, SalDemilio.com. We're so social. We're everywhere. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Interact with us. You could win a coffee cup. Say hello to us. We're everywhere.
Yep.
We're very excited. We have a little residency, you know? It's not Vegas,
it's really cool.
We have a residency started.
I already have friends that were contacting me on Facebook saying they saw the poster up at Gennetti's and asking about tickets and stuff. So that was cool.
Yeah.
You know,
starts October 7th.
Yep.
And then November 11th and December 2nd, we have a 3-month residency at the Hole in the Wall Theater in Northville. And we have a slate of three different comics plus the two of us every show. And you need to listen to the show to find out who they are. Do you want to announce who the first three are for the first show?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, I'll give you the first one. Steve Hansen.
Very funny guy.
Good done TikTok a lot of shows with him.
Yep. Billy Reno will be on the show.
Billy, he's got a CD under his belt.
Yep, very funny guy. I've worked with him many times. He's a hustler in the game, and he's doing well. And then we've got a female on the bill, and tell us. Who that is.
Very funny young lady, Camila Bellario. She's going to round out the night.
Very funny, talented musician, comedian. So that's a good show. And
very good show. All three very funny and three completely different styles.
You get a nice dinner with the show.
Yeah, $25. Come in, have a 5-course meal, and see a comedy show, people. Come on. Where are you going to see that?
Go to Gennetti's Hole in the Wall Theater.com or Google Gennetti's.
And just Google it. Google any of us. We're going to be posting it all over the place.
Yeah.
You won't be able to miss it.
I got some stuff in September, too. I'm going to be doing the Livonia Italian American Club on Wednesday, September 22nd.
That's always a fun thing, especially for you.
Thanks to Motown Mark Productions on that. And also September 29th, I'm opening up for a wrestler named Mick Foley. And that will be at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, September 29th.
Yeah, Mick Foley, man. That's
comedycastle.com for tickets.
I'm sorry, I interrupted
you. No, myself and Mick Foley. Yes, okay. I'll be his ring partner for this comedy show.
Yeah, you're going to give him the people's elbow? Wouldn't that be hilarious when you introduce him? You're like, I'm going to give you the people's elbow. You drop him right on stage, and then you run like hell.
I do. I just tackle him, and then I do the double shimmy. Come down with my elbow on.
Shove him off stage, and then hit him over the head with a folding chair, and then just run the hell out of
the
club.
What are you doing? This wasn't part of the plan. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Ridley told me to do this.
I didn't know. We have a private show on the 25th. It's in New Baltimore. I'm forgetting where.
Yeah, the 25th. That is for the New Baltimore AmVets. basically. So it's basically for our veterans. It's a fundraiser for our veterans, basically, out
yeah,
of that branch.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, AmVets 52 out in New Baltimore is basically who we're doing the fundraiser for. So okay. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I got one.
That's already, like, tickets are already, like, almost sold out on that. So it's
they always sell out. People yeah. want to do something for vets, for the troops, you know.
Yeah.
It's always a good time when people get together for that, right? I always look forward to those. I'm going to be at the Davison Eagles on October 2nd in Davison, Michigan. I have a ton more stuff coming up in October, and we'll let you know what those are about if you want to come out and see us, Sal and I, together or separately.
That is for John and Karen, TDC Comedy.
Yes, and I love working for those guys.
Yeah, great,
because
great
they,
rooms.
They run the rooms,
run them
the right
great.
Way.
They
really
run
do.
Them the run right way. No TVs are on.
Yeah,
sound system, lights are good.
Yeah,
they do a good job, man. So yeah, so we got a lot of comedy coming up, which is good. I just did some shows at the Grav Cap Brewery out in Oxford, Michigan.
Yeah,
that
give us a
great.
Recap on that.
That was great. That was yeah. great. Jason Flaris runs a really great room over there for kind of in conjunction with mental health awareness. And on Saturday, I did a fundraiser for up in Vassar for just the community up there. And that was sold out with Kara Karachi. And it was just a fun time. So it's good that we can talk about our shows. I know, you know, some people probably don't want to hear this stuff, but we like to promote
well,
our shows.
Well, if they're Sal and Bob fans, which most people
are. They want to follow us around.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, we're not trying to brag. We're just...
No, it's...
We're not bragging when we talk about doing... It's not like we're doing the, you know...
This isn't the Tonight Show.
We're not doing the, you know, the win out in Vegas, but...
No, but you know what? We will be.
We're working on our craft, man.
The thing that I love about... One of the things I love about comedy is that you and I have worked with some really heavy hitters over the years. Guys like Gary Gulman and Lewis Black, Rob Schneider, Tom Arnold, you know, and
John Lovitz. I mean, it's just...
John Lovitz. I mean, yes. And to a person, they've all been great because they remember, they know,
yep.
you know, they've all made it big and they all have huge names. But I've been treated with respect by all of them because they all remember what the struggle is like when you're doing clubs and especially one-nighters, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, to me, in my eyes, I think we've talked about this in the past. It's not a downer for me because I enjoy these gigs.
I do
enjoy
too.
These types of gigs.
Yeah, there's
I
nothing.
I don't say like, oh, wow, I'm doing this gig. I wish I
no,
was
No, I appreciate
this
them all.
I'm just like, hey, I'm working. I'm getting paid to tell jokes. I got people that are into comedy in front of me.
Yeah.
What? You could be at a five-star comedy club and have a shitty show because the crowd sucks.
Yeah. I mean,
so why not take a good crowd at a banquet hall?
How many YouTube videos have we seen where Dave Chappelle and Bill Burr are just screaming at an idiot arena audience that won't shut up?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's no fun
that.
For them.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure they'd rather do a 250-seat
mm-hmm. good point.
You know, KFC hall where everybody's digging it and paying attention, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, they wouldn't like the pay, but...
Now, we've talked about, we've done our worst gig as far as, like, you know, worst setup or worst stage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to ask you, what is your most luxurious gig you've ever had? Not necessarily your biggest crowd, just your most luxurious as far as, like, how you were treated or what kind of green room you had or what kind of room you had, hotel room. Nothing to do with pay, just about the luxurious perks of doing some gigs.
All right.
Do you have any?
Yeah, that's an easy one for me because that was a year and a half ago. That was Delirious Comedy Club out in Vegas in the downtown Grand, brand new hotel.
Okay.
Now the show, I'm going to say, well, I think we did seven shows out there. And now the shows were sparsely attended in like three of them.
Okay.
And then we had some really good crowds on the other four. But the great part about it was the room was paid for. The food was paid for. The only thing I had to pay for was airfare and it was nothing. It was like $300 round trip.
Okay.
So that felt like
Like your accommodations were just fit the gig.
Yeah, and, I mean, all I had to do was occupy myself for those for the whole day, you know, and look for jokes to write for that audience that night. It was luxurious.
Okay,
it was all laid out for me. How about you?
That's great. No, that's good. So I've got as you were talking, I was kind of thinking about mine, and I've got at least a dozen that I was just like in awe of the situation I had. But I'm just going to give you one in particular. Like when I used to do, when I started, I used to do Hilarities in Cleveland a lot.
Great okay? club.
Great club. And I don't want to say it was like, you know, the most luxurious situation, but here, and the comics that play this room are going to know what I'm talking about. So the gig is like on 4th Street. Of the downtown Cleveland area. Right around the corner was your hotel, and I want to say it was a Holiday Inn Express kind of thing, but it was in downtown Cleveland, so it's not a freestanding Holiday Inn Express. It's attached to buildings and offices and, you know, one of those malls that you can walk through and stuff. So it was in that area of downtown Cleveland, and they gave you a great room in this Holiday Inn Express, okay?
Yeah.
Which was 100 yards away from the club.
Yeah,
and I would work.
That's
there
always nice.
Like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then or Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then I would kind of bolt. So I would feature for during the week because then maybe like you know Bill Burr's coming in on the weekend and he's got his own feature. So the club would hire me for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? And then I would go do my own gigs on the weekend. So it was a great gig for me because I would book other stuff. Anyway. The hotel was great. It was a Holiday Inn Express. I had a Starbucks on the first floor.
Oh,
I had a bowling alley across the street. I had a museum down the street. There was all kinds of things to do during the day. And just for 3 days during the week, I would just be in heaven because I didn't have to go anywhere. My car was parked in like the basement of the Holiday Inn Express. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I would just leave my car there for 3 days, never have to drive it.
Yeah.
And you're just in a, and it's just a good situation. And I, you know, a half hour before the show, I'd walk over to the club, full house.
Boom.
You do your set. I'm featuring. I'm not headlining, but I'm not, you know, I'm not emceeing either. It was, and then I'd get off stage, watch the rest of the show, whoever was headlining or whatever. And I don't know. It was just a perfect comedy situation.
It sounds great. I have not played that club, but the way you're putting it together, the word picture you've drawn,
And don't get me wrong, there's a thousand clubs that treat you like that across the country. I'm just saying that particular one, the setup was good. Because some hotels will give you a great hotel, but you got to drive 15 miles to the gig, you know, or to the club.
Yeah, and it's always traffic-y when you're trying to get to the club. Yeah, you're so getting that's just agitated.
It was a good situation to where you had no stress in your life for 3 days.
Right.
Had to tell jokes.
That I think that's what I was going to follow up with. I'm glad you said that because to me now the Grand Hotel was cushy as hell. Delirious was fun. It was Vegas, man. You know,
yeah, I played,
and
that
it was just popping. But the most comfortable place I ever played, the most stress-free, was Courtney's in the least Vegasy place in the world, Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, I remember that club. It was that open. Yeah,
Courtney's was a great place. It was modeled after a New York club. A bunch of two tops, right? Very small. It sat like 180. And it was filled every night. It was joyous. It was everybody because and I always ask the agency to put me in there in like January and February because you were the only game in town.
Yeah.
You were a rock star. And then you were in the same hotel that the club was in. So you literally just went downstairs in the elevator, took a left and walked into the club. That was the most convenient and relaxing gig I think I've ever had. No, and I cut a CD there.
I never did that club. I never played that club, but I heard because it was only open like a couple years.
Yeah, it's gone now. It came and went, and then it's gone.
But I remember people talking about it. Yeah, and that reminds me of other really, really good gigs is like the casino gigs that we do in Michigan, like whether it's Turtle Creek
those
or the
fun
one in Harris, Michigan that I think Joe Sanfilippo books up there. Those you get unbelievable rooms with those gigs.
Yeah.
You know, even the one that Brimley that Jeff Johnson books up there.
Yeah.
Your room is just unbelievable there. You get like $40 in food, you know, comps.
Right.
When you play the casinos and you're not leaving anywhere. You're parking your car. and you're done. You know, you're in the place where you, so anyway, that's, yeah. I just thought I'd bring that up. I mean, sometimes you would get great gigs where you got to drive to, and like, you know, like my weekend were all great shows that I had. I had one Thursday, one Friday. I did the Ryder Bar up in Midland on Thursday, and then Friday I did that room in Oxford, and Saturday I did, you know, that gig up in Millington. I had at least hour and a half drive home every night.
Yeah, that's a
lot. I didn't get a room, but it's okay. I'm an hour and a half from my house. I don't care.
Yeah. You can sleep in.
You know, so that's, you know, would I rather just get up every morning and go to the next gig? Of course. But
it was a couple of years ago when we interviewed Anthony Carter. We were up in Traverse City. What was the hotel we used to? Was that Turtle Creek? Was that the one? There was a casino. It was a nice casino.
But did we
didn't do a show that weekend?
No,
did
no.
We just went up to
there.
Interview.
Yeah, we
him.
Went up there to interview him because he was doing a Michigan game thing, Michigan Ohio State.
That's
game.
Right. Yeah, and he cracked his tooth, and we had to take him to the store.
Cracked his tooth.
Yeah, remember he had that appliance that broke, and we had to take him to the drugstore to get some dental glue.
Yeah, that was great.
We're with Anthony Carter getting dental glue.
It was, I'll never forget that. It was hilarious, and that was that was fun. That was fun. We got to give Anthony a call, see how he's doing, see how his son is doing, and so that was fun. Yeah, we're gonna do a lot more. We haven't gone any steakhouses or eateries or anything. I know the last episode we forgot to mention. The great steakhouse that we, not steakhouse, but it was a nice new establishment in Northville. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, you want to talk about Toria?
Yeah, because we never talked about it.
Yeah, let's talk
episode,
about it.
And we wanted to
right,
give them
we
a
did
shout
forget
out.
About that.
Because we really did go eat there. We didn't do a live show there.
Right.
But we went in, and because it was a new place, and we want to support all the new places where we live.
Yeah.
And so tell the folks about who owns that.
Well,
and
you know what? I don't know who owns it.
It's the people that own the pet store or whatever, the candy place across the street.
Oh, yeah. It's the same people that own Sugar Lou's, my grandson's favorite candy store.
Yeah, they
own
it.
And they also own a, I don't want to say a florist. It's a plant, sort of a unique plant place that you buy plants for your home.
So they have other businesses in the downtown Northville area. And then they have this place now.
Yes, and it's called Toria, which is an abbreviation for Victoria. And it's brand new. I think they've been open a month. And you and I, we had a few pops down the street at the Exchange, which is another one of our favorite watering holes. It used to be pools. And we're literally just walking west on Main Street going, okay, what are we going to do? Hey, what's this place?
Yeah.
And we fall in there going, hey, tell us about this. And it's, the decor was really cool.
I love the decor. The bathrooms were nice.
They had a...
I go to the bathroom right away when I go there.
Well, we both
wound
up going.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. Yeah, everything was nice about the place. They had really it was a real eclectic, eclectically, is that a word? A decorated place?
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff. And then they had really old paintings on the walls that sort of popped out against some of the modern decor. And the menu was really interesting. We had a purple, what was the name of that purple drink we had?
It was
gin, and it was like a sour. And then we thought that it was a purple liqueur, but it wasn't. It was an actual purple flower that they ground up. And made the color of this, and it was delicious.
It was. It got a lot of likes on Facebook. You posted.
Oh, it did. It did. And we had a beef dish there that was really good.
You
and
ordered
I
that late.
I wish that I could remember the name of it. It was almost like a,
almost like, it would be like getting beef tips, but not really because
kind
were,
of
they
yeah
were like long cut. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that was really good. And then we had a dessert.
Which was
like a rum, not a
wasn't
rum
it
cake,
a creme brulee or something like that.
You know, look we would be terrible restaurant reviewers because we can't remember what we ate.
It doesn't matter because we love it, and you need to go there because the food was good. We had a good time.
Go to Toria. They treated us like kings.
It's a small little place. I mean, it doesn't seat, but you know, 15,
as Sal said,
people.
They have great bathrooms. We don't know the names of anything. They have purple
great
drinks
pictures
and
hanging
beef.
Up in the bathroom. I remember pissing going, this is a nice picture. I don't know why.
Well, it was an interesting night, and we wound up leaving there at 11 p.m., and I live 1.75 miles from that restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful, warm summer night. It was like 80 degrees. You said, you want to ride home? I said, no, I'm going to walk this booze off. Yeah, and I walked home in the dark, and it was so fun. I just walk because it's all through the woods, you know?
Yeah, but and at night, I mean...
It was quiet and beautiful, and by the time I got home, I walked off most of the booze and slept like a baby.
Yeah, no, that was well, wine will do that for it. Speaking of wine, we talk a lot about the wines we buy.
Yeah.
We are drinking a wine called Pessimist.
Which neither of us are.
Yeah,
we're optimists.
Yeah, there's just a flower tree on the bottle, but it's very good wine.
That comes from our friend Rocky down the street at Six and Park Party Store.
Yeah, we've contributed to his wine distribution.
My goodness, they have been the suppliers for almost 3 years now. 3 years, Sally.
Yeah,
it's going to be 3 years next month. Did you know that?
That's unbelievable. Man.
3 years of Sal and Bob.
It's been great.
Over 150 shows.
Yeah, I not to toot our own horn, but you mentioned to me the other day, go back and listen to our Josh Mankiewicz episode, mm-hmm. and I did. I was driving along, and I said, you know what? I'm going to listen to that episode, and man, it was a great episode. I mean, obviously because of us, we did a nice job, but man, yeah. Josh was hilarious episode.
So
and it
funny.
Was just, I went back and listened to it, and it was great. I forgot a lot of the stuff we said before we interviewed him, and it was a great episode.
And we go back and listen. And some of the episodes, I mean, you know, you do 150 of these. Some are better than others. Now, we always try to be entertaining. That's our job. We're comedians, and we always try to bring something new, something, you know, interesting to the table.
Yep.
But as with anything... Some are, you know, better than others. And that was one of the great ones. I love that. I always love the Waffle House episode. That'll always be one of my favorites. The one up in Grand Rapids when we were trashing Amway.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Jeff Ruby's.
Yeah. We got a lot of good episodes and a lot of good steakhouses.
The Golden Steer. Come on.
We're going back out there. Yeah. We're going to visit some more steakhouses. So keep listening to the Sal and Bob Show.
Yeah.
Keep following Bob Phillips on Twitter at Bob the Suit. He was Twitterer of the Month this month.
Yeah, I don't know how that worked out.
And I was Twitterer of my apartment complex. Twitterer, the horse whisperer, the horse Twitterer. We have in less than 1 month, we have a special Sal and Bob show. As we are going to on Friday, October 1st, as of right now, I do not have a show on that day. I have a show on October 2nd, which is Saturday. I'm going to be at the Village Canton Theater in Canton, Michigan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on Saturday.
I got thrown out of there.
Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. For what? Drinking?
Tell me your story,
and
I'll tell you
my
mine.
Thought. So I'm there on October 2nd. I want to hear your story. October 1st, I have no gig scheduled. And if you're a booker listening to this, I will gladly work for you.
Yeah.
Get a hold of me at saldemilio@aol.com. Yes, I still have AOL because I just can't get rid of it. I got too many contacts in there.
Because you live in a cornfield and you have dial-up. You can reach Sal on Farmers Only. Isn't that a thing? Wasn't there like, what's that? What's that dating
farmers
site?
FarmersOnly.com.
What the f*** does that even mean? I
don't know.
They're all out.
There's no way I could even try it. I couldn't even like lie on that website, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
how
I couldn't go on
that
as
up?
Soon as a girl asked me anything about a farming, I'd be like, I don't know what you're talking
just,
about.
Just
what do
just,
you mean? You don't know what a twister thing is? And I'll be like, no, what does that do? That gets the milk out of the cow.
It's a twister thing.
I would have no idea. Like I wouldn't be able to have one would
well,
you?
I,
with
I,
a
no, I would
girl?
Have no idea what to do. I'd say, when did you last take ivermectin?
I'd be like, can I chase the chicken around like Rocky did? Anyway, October 1st.
You catch
1st,
that chicken, you'll catch Creed.
At 12 noon, the Sal and Bob Show will be watching the the Tony Soprano movie.
Yes, we will.
Comes out.
And we're going to be reviewing
Saints of Newark. So
that, and buddy, that is a high holiday for you.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for that movie. I'm seeing it at noon. If I don't have a gig, I'll get drunk that day. I might even
I'm going
I might
with
even
you, man.
Sneak in wine. Yeah,
we have
can
to
we
see
sneak
it together.
Wine into the movie theater.
Oh, we're gonna.
How are we gonna do that? We'll just put like nine cups in a raincoat.
It's gonna be fall, so it's gonna be chilly. We'll just wear like a light jacket and put a flask in. We're bringing wine into the theater.
I'm gonna wear a trench coat and put like three bottles in there.
All right,
perfect.
I'm with you.
I'm gonna watch that movie.
I would
drink
not
wine,
miss that
and
for
then
anything.
We'll record right after because it'll be fresh in our head.
Yeah.
And so look out for that. That's going to be a special episode October. That'll come out October 3rd.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you're playing the Village Theater in Canton because
that is
a really nice theater.
Yeah, it is.
It seats 450, I think. And the stage is great. In fact, I have some clips on YouTube that I recorded there back in 2008. And I'm glad I have that visual memory of it because they booked me, and then after I apparently pissed off everyone in the audience, they never booked me again.
Really?
They said, yes. The guy that booked me, we had an audition, okay? We had an audition. There were six comedians, and they picked Mike Green to headline and me to middle, okay? Because back then I wasn't headlining. And I forget who the opener was, but they saw my act. They knew what they were getting, okay?
Yeah, they saw it on the video.
Yeah, we had a full... Well, they saw us in person. We
auditioned for the
remember,
show.
You know the little black box theater that they have in some of these other, big theaters? Okay, so we auditioned for like 50 people, and I got big laughs, and then the booker said, oh, we want you, and we want Mike Green.
Okay.
So Mike and I go there, right? And like I said, I can't remember who opened. I do my thing, and I thought I had, I had fun. I had a great time. I got laughs, and then of course Mike Green came up and just destroyed, but after the show, I went out in the lobby and I could feel it. I could feel there was physical hate for me. People were walking by me like they had never been so offended in their life. I was really dirty. Dirty. And the booker came up to me and said, well, we'll talk about this tomorrow, and gave me the check, right? So then the next day, I get this email from her, and she said, I've never received so many complaints, people who were offended. And she said, if I had known that you were going to be this way, I probably wouldn't have booked you. And I fired back. I said, hold on a minute. You hired me.
Did you do the same set?
It was bullshit what she was doing because she copied the owner of the theater. She was covering her ass, right? The show was fine. Everybody had a good time, but apparently some of the residents of Cherry Hill Village were emailing her saying that guy was so offensive. So she had to do this. And so I sent the check back.
Wow.
And it wasn't a small check. It was $375, which was a lot of money back then.
You said, I'm not cashing this?
I said, hey, look, if you think I was so offensive, take this check back.
And you should have cashed the check. If you didn't want the money, at least go put it on black down at the casino.
Yeah, I should have. But at that point, I was so pissed off. It was basically me telling her, shove it up your ass. You're lying. You auditioned me and picked me, and you're just covering yourself with your bosses. And I'm sorry you didn't like my act. But anyway, you're going to kill there because...
No, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm going to remember
they love,
that now.
They love friendly, jovial people, and I wasn't that night.
I've been there once before as well. I opened up for... the late, great Kevin Meaney. That's not right at that Canton Theater.
Man.
So that's the last time I was there.
I love Kevin Meaney.
It was probably New Year's Eve of
2009.
Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately. But man, what a great, great comedian.
He was my mother's favorite comedian, okay? He was always talking about Irish stuff. My mother's Irish. So
yeah. That's not right.
That's not right. Oh, it's just talking like his mother. It just cracked me up. You're like a crazy person. God, he was so good.
Yeah, as you were talking about, you didn't get kicked out of the Canton Theater, but you obviously were.
I didn't get invited back.
You didn't get invited back. So it made me think about, have you ever been literally kicked out of a bar for being too drunk, or have you ever been kicked out of an establishment?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I was. This was at the Post Bar in Novi.
Okay.
Probably 15 years ago, but I wasn't drunk. I had gone up there because I was looking for my son.
Yeah.
And he had already left and he needed a ride home. I forget what it was. And I was asking around for him and somebody, I don't know what they thought. You know, they're like, okay, here's this old man. We're going to give him a hard time. I said, look, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to brag, but I can handle myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the bouncers grabbed me and I said, MRF-er, get your fucking hand off of me.
Yeah.
And that was it. Then I was out on the curb. Now they gently shoved me. That was the only time.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, the one I was thinking about is, so I played baseball at Henry Ford Community College. I played baseball there for 2 years.
Back you were a hell of a
86,
pitcher.
86, 87. And we were going to a tournament. We were going to Panama City, Florida for like 5 days. We played games every day and we drink at night like, 19-year-old kids would do.
What a time.
And yeah, it's one of the greatest times of my life playing baseball and traveling with, my baseball buddies, right? So we're in Panama City, Florida one night. And you know these places called Carlos and Charlie's? They're like all over the place.
Yeah,
they're all over the world. I mean, they're resorts and stuff. They're big in Florida or Florida towns.
Not up here.
College towns. So we're in a Carlos and Charlie's and we're just drinking. And like I said, we just played baseball games and we're having the time of our life, All of a sudden, I noticed that the bartender was serving these Carlos and Charlie's like margaritas in these really cool glasses, right? And he kept telling us, hey, these are on special, but you can't take the glass with you. One of those kind of deal where he was like, you can't take the glass with you.
Right. They'll pour it in a plastic cup or you just can't leave it.
Yeah.
Leave with it.
Correct.
Okay.
So he walks away and everybody's like, these glasses are cool. We met a couple girls and they're like, these glasses are cool. And I'm like, well, I'm going to get you guys these glasses. And they're like, what? What are you going to do?
Big Sal.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
There's a door right there. It's like one of those emergency exit doors, but it was kind of open. So it wasn't ringing or whatever. I go, that door's open. I said, we're going to drink these all night, and then I'm going to put them outside.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go outside. I'm going to grab them all. I'm going to put them in the car, and we'll have like 12 of these Carlos and Charlie's glasses. So for the next hour, I'm putting them out there. Now, my plan's going perfectly. I go outside.
Perfectly.
I'm completely drunk at this point because I've had 9 of these damn things. I go outside. I go all the way around the building to where that door is. I grab these glasses. Now, I've got glasses that they're not clean. They've been drunk.
Right.
So some have straws out of them and some still
Mostly yours.
Some have like still 2 inches of liquid in them and stuff. Yeah. And I'm just grabbing these and I'm like, I can't sit there and take my time, so I just I put them in my arms.
You got to get the hell out of Dodge.
I start running across the parking lot to go to. We don't have cars because we have our hotel. So I'm gonna walk to our hotel and drop them off. All of a sudden, I'm like walking. All of a sudden, this fucking guy grabs me and goes, "What the fuck you think you're doing with these Carlos and Charles glasses or whatever?" I go, I'm going to clean them, man. You said we can't drink out of them anymore or something. He goes, what? What are you talking about? I go, yeah, I'm trying to. He goes, you're not going to clean them. You're stealing these. He's like, give me those back. And I gave it to him. And he goes, you're banned from this bar. He goes, I know you're in town playing baseball. You're banned from this bar. You can't come in here the rest of the week.
Oh.
So I go home. There's no texting back then. So I go home. I go back to the hotel. Everybody comes back to the hotel like to drink later, right, when the bars close down, and they're just cracking up. So for the next 2 nights, they keep going to Carlos and Charlie. I can't go.
Yeah.
So the very last night, we're leaving the next day. I go, I'm going with you guys.
I don't care. I'm going to defy the banning.
I'm walking in, and sure enough, the bouncer's right there at the front door. He goes, hey, aren't you the guy that stole those Carlos and Charlie? I go, yes. I go, dude, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, just
I go, you're
let,
gonna
me,
let me. He goes, get in here. And then he turns to the waitress. He goes, plastic cups for this guy if he orders a drink. So I was kind of kicked out of there.
Well, I got to say, that's a ballsy guy to to grab a 6'3" Dago on his way out the door with absconded merchandise. You know, like what he should have known better. You know, you know what you should have said? They fell off a truck. Yeah. Well, this has been fun, buddy. I've had fun really talking to you, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Stick around. We'll have great episodes coming up in September, and we're going to try to hit some steakhouses and stuff. But make sure you go to bobphillips.com, at bobthesuit, saldemiller.com, at sallydo8. You guys,
we're so social.
You guys have been a blast, and we'll see you next time on the Sal and Bob Show. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.